We're going to begin in Ephesians 3, verse 7. It says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me for the effectual working of his power. Ephesians is a very powerful book, and it has a lot to do with our inheritance in heavenly places and the access he's granted to us. He says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. A lot of people think the mystery was that the Gentiles were added to the church. No, the mystery was that after the Gentiles were added to the church, where God seated everybody, Jew and Gentile alike. And he said, the fellowship of the mystery from the beginning of the world that has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And now here's this fabulous verse, the mysterious verse that he puts right in here, to the intent, or for this purpose, that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And then look at what he says in verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus. So whatever verse 10 was, there was an internal purpose attached to it. Whatever he's talking about there. I tend to think those principalities and powers were not of the demonic origin. I don't think it's God's eternal purpose for us to understand the demonic origins. And we're going to show you this today. It's awesome. Hallelujah. He says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at this. And I'll tell you why I don't believe it's demonic origin, because look at verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access. Say access. So whatever those principalities and powers, we have access. So he wasn't talking about accessing the demonic realm. And you know it's a second heaven. But we just go right through that one. Amen. Our stairwell takes us to the right hand of God. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Heavenly places mentioned about four or five times in the book of Ephesians. Now, he says, whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith. Now, let's go back to this verse 10 for a minute. For this purpose, or for this intent, that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known. That word known is known, recognized, understood. You can also add access by the church. And all of this, comma, is the manifold wisdom of God. It was his purpose that the church could know, understand, access the spiritual domains of God. To recognize them. You know, he's distinguishing between the old and the new. And the old, they didn't move into the heavenlies. That was not available to them. They moved in the earth. We, as a church, move. And it's very rarely preached. That's why the church is so powerless, because we keep you bound operating here. You are a dual citizen. You are just as much a spiritual being as you are a natural being. And we are not to draw back. We are to press forward. We are to get on the escalator. Amen. It says, to the intent, now the principalities and powers. Let me give you a little word for that principality. It means territory, domain, and jurisdiction of a prince. That's what a principality is. It's a territory, domain, or jurisdiction of a prince. What prince do you think he's talking about there? The Prince of Peace. The kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. The domain or the powers actually mean jurisdiction. He's describing the government of heaven. The jurisdictional domains of heaven. There's many thrones there. He has the highest throne. There's many domains there. There's ruling classes of angels there. It's a full-blown spiritual government. It's like you came from Iran or something. And you got over here, your government would be completely different than the one that you lived under. There you'd be living under a dictator. You'd have to understand how this government works. We have a complex government in the United States. Three different sectors of ruling class. The judicial system, the congressional system, the president. It's a government. Well, the same way in the kingdom, there's a ruling domain. It's the kingdom of God. And God was saying, look, this was the eternal purpose of the Godhead. That you would have been granted access. That you would understand and recognize and understand how to access the kingdom of God. The principality, the domain of our prince, he made it open and available. It was the eternal purpose of the Godhead. That's why he said, whereby we have boldness and access. So he says, for this purpose, it is eternal purpose that was in God, that now under the principalities and powers, or the territories, the domain, the jurisdictions of our prince, our king, or the kingdom of God. He's just describing there the kingdom of God. And powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. In the old, they didn't understand that dimension. They understood this one. They understand when God came down, they understood God like that. But they didn't know how to go up to God except for the prophets. The church in the Old Testament did not know how to go up. They were an earthly tabernacle. Ours is a heavenly tabernacle. We're going to have to get very used to this. In fact, the days to come, there'll be so much heaven on earth. It'll be very natural. We had a couple at our house last night. I was dropping Carson out. He's Carson's coach, and we're telling him Carson has different dreams and visions. And he was going, wow, wow. And I said, but it's very natural sometimes. Because to children, if that's what you're exposed to, some of the things of the kingdom are very natural. It's only until our mind gets so focused into this system that when God tries to open that other system, it boggles us. You know, every once in a while, I'll take Michael home. Michael Jones over here, raise your hand, my brother. He's a quiet man, except when he plays that trumpet. He doesn't say it a lot when you're in here. In the car, he'll start throwing things at me. Because he has a lot of encounters in the heavenly places, lots of them. But he doesn't always come and tell you all of them. Go over to Colossians chapter 1, because he says the kind of similar thing here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians and Ephesians are very parallel books. Paul actually says a lot of the same things in both books. He says, for by him, now he's going to talk about this government we just looked at in verse 10. He says, for by him were all things created that are what? Are in heaven and on the earth. Visible and invisible. I got news for you. There is a kingdom that's just as real, just as accessible as this one. You see here with the natural eye. You see there with the spiritual eye. You see there with the eye of faith. And this word actually allows you to look into those things when you learn to be trained by it. Amen? These are not just words. This is a living book. This book is doorways. There are a lot of doorways in this book that grant you access to inheritance that's invisible that can become visible. When we access the invisible, it becomes visible. You have to learn to see the invisible, but this book makes the invisible visible. That's pretty good. It's just not just reading 5-minute Bible study and you give your little 5-minute time. No. This is a gateway to a kingdom that's not of this world. It's invisible, but can it manifest? It can manifest here, and you can see it. That's how you look at it. This word gives you access into it, because it's a living word. Booyah! All things were created, visible and invisible. Hey, I got news. He created some things that are invisible to your natural eye, but all the more visible in the spirit. You see it with the eye of faith. You get very honed in. The more this you get in you, the more you see. Amen? Look at this. Whether they be thrones, dominions. He's describing verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 3. Principalities. Heaven is a very big place. Do you know the city of heaven is 1,200 miles wide? 1,200 to 15, depending on how you do the math. Wide. It says the length, the height, and the breadth were all equal. You didn't get that. Oh, you missed that. It said 1,200 miles can deal with the length and the width. That's a big place. But it said 1,200 miles high. Say hi. I've been to the Royal Gorge. It's about 3 miles deep. And there's a bridge you can go stand on. We used to go snow skiing. We'd go stand out on that bridge. Man, that is a long way down. It's like 3 miles. And you look down that gorge. If you got fear of heights, you're going to need deliverance. I mean, that is way down there. We talk about three stories. God has 1,200 levels to the city of heaven alone. 1,200 miles high. It's a big place. God does everything big. He said, whether it be thrones, dominion, principalities, powers, all things were created. He created a visible world and an invisible. There's a government. There's a kingdom. And he said the eternal purpose of God was that all that would be made known to you. Now everybody knows it's going to be made known when we get there. And that's the way we usually read the Bible. The sweet by and by glory. All right. He wants us going there now. We're seated in heavenly places now. If you've been risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. Where Christ sitteth, those things is a big thing. Seek those things that are above where Christ sitteth. It's like, how do I do that? I'm a natural being. No, that's what you were taught in who you are. Because that's why the devil likes the church to think that they're just natural people. Go out there and do things like human does them. But you're more than that. You're a son of the living God. You've been granted access. You're a dual citizen. You have a right to understand, to access, to recognize the things of the kingdom of God and bring them here. You have a right. But we all learn to access and move into these realms because we're sitting on the stairwell. We're going to do things and get results like human beings do. God did not call us to sit on that stairwell, not at the base of it. At least get on it. Shame on the person who's got his back turned to it. Because you're looking at the world if your back's turned to that stairwell. That is not a place to lounge. That says a lot about a person that's lounging on the base of that stairwell. Okay, go to Ephesians chapter 1. So we see that it was his eternal purpose to make known to the church the territories and the jurisdictions and the domains of the kingdom of God, an invisible kingdom. But it was his eternal purpose, though we are men, though we are natural men and women, we have access now because we've been born again to understand the things of the kingdom. It doesn't get preached very often in the church. Sometimes it's too hard to swallow. But today we want an 18-inch wide steak that's 3 inches thick. Got to preach on me. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9. Everyone say booyah. God only knows what he's going to do with us when the bride gets to stand with him in the right hand of God. Only knows what kind of glory he's going to reveal to the church. God only knows what he's going to do if he ever gives us the lift off to get us off the stairwell. Well, how do I do that? There's black boxes up there. Those little frequency things that cause things to happen. There's a lot of mysteries that get unlocked up there. He called it like this. I bless you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. How do you think we're going to start partaking if we're sitting at the base of the stairwell? Everyone say, that's not me. That is not me, God. I'm on the stairs. I step up. How do you step up? You step into. You got to understand. That's why he said it was the eternal purpose, to make you to understand the glories of his kingdom. We've unveiled a lot of these mysteries already. We've unveiled them. You can freely partake of them. Not just to make your head big, but get your spirit activated. God has somewhere for you to go. He has something he wants to give you. And you got to get out of this jurisdiction every once in a while to get what he really wants to give you. We're always just sitting in here, God, what you going to bring me today? And God said, and when you going to come visit me today? What did Jesus' last prayer? Father, I will. They be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. He is not sitting at the bottom of that stairwell. I can tell you right now, he's seated at the right hand of God. Said, well, that's really far up there. You're seated with him. Your faith just has to catch up with that. He wants us to use our faith to enter into, having therefore boldness to enter into. Everyone say boldness to enter into the holiest of all, by the new and the living way, consecrated by the veil of his flesh, let us draw near. What did he say in enter into? He's residing over our heavenly tabernacle. Ephesians 1 verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation, I'm going to show you how to read this verse here in a minute. Let's read it. I'll ask you what you think about it. It says that in dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on the earth, even in him. How many of you think that's talking about a future day? Raise your hand. But when you naturally read that, I'll tell you what. When you naturally read that, your first time through, it kind of sounds like that it's his purpose one day that he's going to merge the things in heaven on earth. Just think about it for a minute. Let's read it again. What does he say? In the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and on the earth. So we're thinking, well, that's going to come one day. Okay, so think about that. So the one day is when you get to heaven. So if that one day is when you get to heaven, it should read like this. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together all things that are in Christ, both those that are in heaven and those that just arrived in heaven. Right? But he said the things on heaven and earth, this was the mystery of his will. That he's removing the barrier. So this fullness of time thing got me a little bit. Because it kind of sounds like fullness of time is something in the future. We'll go to Galatians 4:4 real quick. Come on, you expand your tent pegs a little bit. I'm going to move off the salad and I'm going to take a big old bite. Hallelujah forever. Galatians 4:4. This is rightly dividing the word. This says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. So when Jesus arrived, the fullness of time had come. The fullness of time was not some future date. The fullness of time arrived when he arrived. You see that? Because the fullness of time, when it came, he came. It came when he came. When he came, it came. So the fullness of time is not when we get to heaven. The fullness of time is now. We are in the fullness of time. Booyah. Okay, go back to Ephesians. Man, I am stirred up today. Let's read it again. Verse 9, having made known as the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation, that what? In the dispensation, within the dispensation of the fullness of times, How many of you know we are in the dispensation right now of what's called in Galatians the fullness of time? It started when he arrived into the earth. So I'm in it now. It's not someplace I'm going next. It's now. See, I'm in the fullness of time. I'm in that dispensation. He might gather together in one. What did he say, Father? We be one. All things in Christ, both which are in heaven and that which is on the earth, even in him. Let me ask you a question. Are you in him? Well, where is he? Is he here or is he there? This will boggle your noggin. Kingdom of God is where? Within you. Kingdom of God is not of this world. When he was talking to his soon-to-be apostles in John 17, what did he say? Father, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world, but I send them to the world. They're probably looking at each other and said, what? They're in the upper room. But are they in the upper room? And at the end of John 15, he started his teaching in John 13 and a half. He ended it in John 17. But right in the middle of it, I think it's the end of John 15 or John 16, he says, arise, let us go hence. So they probably, like the good disciples they were, they all stood up and said, okay, where are we going? Because they never left the upper room. He still continued to teach for two or three more chapters. They're probably sitting there, where are we going? By John chapter 17, he said, Father, they are not of this world as I'm not of this world. Why? They're in another jurisdiction now. Just like you. Just like when he was talking to Nicodemus. He had already blown Nicodemus away when a man must be born again. Because he goes, do I have to enter back into my mother's womb? What's going on here? He said, no man has ascended from heaven except the Son of Man that descended from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. When I talk to you right now. Oh, just go there. You need to look at it. You know, when you really read this Bible, you'll find that it's really talking to you as a born again son of the living God that's been given access, citizenship. We just got to learn. We got to know. John 3:13. Hey, when the fruit starts showing up, everybody goes, where'd you get that? How'd you do that? Pretty soon the fruit will start showing up off the limbs. Say, well, it comes from another place. John 3:13, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. How'd you like somebody to talk to you like that? I mean, Nicodemus was just still being blown away a little bit at the fact that I entered my mother's womb, and then Jesus throws that at him. Oh, by the way, Nicodemus, while I'm talking to you, I'm standing in another jurisdiction right now. I'm in heaven while I speak to you here. Now, that just boggles people. But that is part of your dual citizenship, because the kingdom of God is within you and you are not of this world, but your body, you stand in this world, but your spirit gives you ultimate access to a kingdom. And it was his eternal purpose that you would understand, recognize and understand the glories and the dominions of his kingdom and learn your access and how to move in and out of the spirit. How to draw upon an inheritance. The Bible says you are a partaker of the inheritance in the light, translated out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. You are partaking of a kingdom that's not of this world. It's invisible to the natural eye. The world thinks you're crazy, but it's very real. And when you start partaking of it, the Holy Ghost will start materializing that kingdom here for us. But if, as long as we think like men, act like men, and we don't get any kind of lift off and sit on the stairwell, we're not going to get any kind of that glory showing up. That's what's wrong with the church. Everybody wants God to come down, and God said, I need everybody to come up. So he wants to gather it all in him. I'm in him. Things are in heaven are in him. Things are on the earth are in him now. I am on the earth, but I am in him. My spirit is in him. I am found in him. So I don't understand that. I know you don't understand. That's why we're here to show you the things of the kingdom are spiritually discerned. They're not discerned with your head. If your head is going, I don't understand, you're in a good place. Because it's about time you shut that thing off, because that's not what access the kingdom. That one lets you do and maneuver around and do a lot of things here, but that brain will cut you off from the kingdom, because you do not access God with your brain. You access him with your spirit and with your heart and by your faith. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. If you don't know there is a kingdom that's not of this world, you won't arrive there. Not while you're here. You'll have to wait till the sweet by and by. Oh, this is for us now. Now I bless you with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Now. I need what's in heavenly places. I need what's in the kingdom. I need it. The church desperately needs it. The church has no expression in the earth. Aren't you tired of looking at a man's personality and calling that God? How many personalities are we going to have to see? How many are you going to follow after a while? You eat of that tree and, okay, I've eaten of that tree. I want to eat of a much greater tree than a man's personality. With a little bit of mixture of anointing, I want to eat of a tree of life, or somebody's been sitting up there eating from that place. So what comes out of them says, hey, this doesn't sound like the norm. This is coming from another realm. You got that right. Go to Colossians 1 verse 20. Yeah, he's going to describe Ephesians 1 10 by Colossians 1 20. Man, he opened Ephesians Colossians last night. I said, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself. All things. Say all things. By him, I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven, he reconciled it. He is the great mediator where heaven and earth meet, and you are in him, and your access is through him, by him, with him. Paul said, I want to be found in him. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things that are above, not on the earth. Now listen to this one. For you are dead. Your old man, the one that could not get lift off, the one you were born in the earth with, the one that could give you no access to God, but that only wanted to eat from the system of this world. Boy, my old man ate a lot. He said he died when Jesus died. He was buried when Jesus was buried. He said, you are dead and your life now is hidden with Christ in the Father. Your true life is not of this world. Your spirit does not eat from this system. Your spirit eats from his system. It's an invisible world that become all the more visible when you learn of him. If you think that Christianity is just eating from this system, there's nothing here. That's what the devil wants you to eat from, because the only thing he's got, he wants to appeal to your flesh. But your spirit has been granted access to eat from a heavenly domain. And the food is real good there. It's called life. I come that you might have life and life more abundantly. And the carnal church will look like that and said, I'm called to have an abundant life. Here. No, I come that you might have life. Life more abundantly. I'm going to introduce you to the life of where I come from. I'm going to have you eat from the tree of life. He merged heaven and earth. Man, when are we ever going to get lift off? It's the intercession of my heart. I said, Lord, the church is grounded. I said, we've got to get out of this jurisdiction if we're going to ever be effective. We've got to learn how to come up. We have to start exercising our faith. The whole Bible, the New Testament, was about you coming into where he was. And then when you eat from him, you bring back that place here to the earth. And you're effective when you do. We'll all be very effective. The Holy Ghost is going to anoint that. I like it. Go to Ephesians 1, verse 16. Notice this prayer of Paul. I'm making it a daily prayer of mine. Now I understand what he's praying. What was Ephesians 3:10? Go to Ephesians 3:10 real quick. It says, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers, or the territories, domain, and jurisdictions of our prince, the kingdom of God in heavenly places, might be known, recognized, understood, and accessed by the church. All of this was the manifold wisdom of God that was hid in him from the beginning of the world, but now is made manifest for us. Okay? That was the mystery. That's what he wanted. To reintroduce you to the tree of life. To reintroduce you to your true Father in heaven. To you to fellowship with him. To be with him. I don't know about you, but if you're always waiting on God to come down, you know, God does come down. He just doesn't do it very often. You know what I mean? You sit and wait, God, come. We wait a long time for that. It gets real frustrating sometimes. But you know what? When you go to him, the door is always open. You don't have to even wait. The door is always open to him. You just got to know how to go in. It's an acquired learning. It's an acquired experience, and it requires, like anything else that you're going to do here on the earth, you have to understand. I didn't get a golf swing like Phil Mickelson overnight. It took me a while. David, don't say nothing, brother. You know, those things take time. It takes a little bit of practice. Go to Ephesians 1. We'll close with this. So he wants us. It's more than just an experience, my friend. Walking into the heavens should be very natural. You don't always see angels and things. I very rarely see, but I experience a lot. I feel a lot. I understand a lot. More importantly, the more we gain access, the more we're going to bring back. This world needs what's there. The Holy Spirit's an agency exchange, and so are you. He works with you. It's his final prayer. I cease not, verse 16, Ephesians 1, to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, look at this. Now he's asking you to pray, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He wants you to understand who you are, where you're from, where he's from, your access, all of that. He says, look, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, it's not until you get light from here that tells you what belongs to you there. You can't travel into these dimensions with your natural body. You don't travel with your mind. You move in the dimensions of kingdom by faith. You move by the light that you have, and this book gives you light. And Paul said, you need to pray for the eyes of your understanding to be opened. You got to see the invisible. It's invisible now, but you got to see it. Until you see it, you can't have it. That's the way the kingdom works. When you see it, you can have it. But you're not looking at it with these eyes. You're looking at it through the eye of faith, but this word is a lampstand. It'll really open your spiritual eye. So I found the right hand of God. I found it by this word. Wouldn't even not known it was there. Would not even know my access until this word told me how to get there. When I got up in there, there was a lot of goodies. And there's still a lot more. Amen. So the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, look at this, what is the hope of his calling? Wow. The riches of the glory of his inheritance the one he purchased for you, the one you have access to. He wants you to know. He wants you to understand. He wants light. Amen. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the work of his mighty power he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And look at this. He set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities, powers, and domains. His is the very highest. He wants you to know. There in Ephesians 2, he goes on and says, and you've been granted access by the mercy of God to sit with him as a joint heir. It was this eternal mystery of God that we could understand, recognize, and access the glories of God. We are not cut off from that place anymore. We have the utmost access. Amen? When we start doing it, things will start changing. Father, thank you for your word today. Precious Holy Spirit, thank you for your glory upon us. We thank you, the agency that brings all that, manifests it, materializes it here. Oh, help us come up, Father. Help us come up. Help us be that final bride, that remnant church that will express the fullness of your glory. Shake us from sitting at the bottom of that stairwell. Shake us right now. Turn us around. Get us going back up that ladder to ascend into the heavenlies, to understand who we are, where we're from. Oh, bring thy great glory. Bring thy great glory and grace to help us. Help us. Help us understand. Give us light. Give us understanding. Open the eyes of our understanding.